Hello, everybody. My name is Colin, a member of Aletheia Ministries. I've got Joseph Blake on here today for his interview that we've been talking about. Joseph is the founder of Aletheia Ministries and heads up a lot of directing that has to do with it, along with Bree. Joseph, you'd like to introduce yourself?
Like Colin said, my name is Joseph. I am the co-founder with for Aletheia Ministries, alongside Christina and Bree. I've been working for on Aletheia since September of 2021. That's when we really had the idea. And yeah, just happy to be here and on the Aletheia podcast.
I'll have to apologize to Christina. I thought it was just you and Brie.
No,
That
you're
would be
good.
dumb.
Oh well, that's all good.
All right, so just right away, we're gonna start. We got four questions lined up here. So right away, how did you come to know Christ? How did you become a Christian? Just let you take it away.
So my faith walk in general has been all over the place. Really thankful for the journey that I've gone through. But of course, there's been a lot of like rocky areas. And really, that starts, I was raised as a Christian. Like, my family was Christian. Both my parents, my dad grew up Catholic, and my mom grew up non-denominational, I believe, and they decided to become Lutheran. So I grew up in the Lutheran Church, at Trinity Lutheran in Hudson. Which you of course know as well.
Of course.
some good memories there. But you grow up in that environment consistently. And of course you begin to argue it. That's something you've seen, that's something that has been consistent in your life, and you start to doubt. That's what I did. I got to middle school and started to doubt my faith, more in a subtle fashion. I still attended church, of course, with my parents. That was a requirement, but just sort of arguing what I understood, and what I had been raised in. I mean, going to Christian private school and then going over into the public school, you're surrounded by all these different ideas. And different thoughts that don't exactly align with what you were taught. So a lot of that fought its way into my faith. And I think I would say at like eighth grade, ninth grade, I was very iffy about my faith. More or less, in the fluffy way of saying it, agnostic. I really didn't know what my faith was at that point. And I mean, that's where the first real like struggle came in. I mean, at that time too, like you and I really weren't talking much. I didn't have much of a faith community. And I think it just like looking back, it was a struggle. And I didn't think about it at that time, but it hurt. Anyways, the going through those 2 years or so, eighth grade, ninth grade, I had a lot of opportunities presented to me. I attended youth group every now and then because my parents required me to, but I wasn't really a fan of it. I didn't get confirmed in the LCMS church. That wasn't something I wanted to do. But anyways, off topic, I guess. But that was more or less like where I started to realize I needed some help. So I remember being very interested in leadership. And I had been consistently told I'm a natural leader. I think that came about too, like doing some reflecting. on how growing up on the same street as you guys, being put into that older position you and I were in, of trying to get everybody together, leading games, doing these things. I think that definitely helped nurture my leadership abilities. But Pastor Booth, I don't know if you remember. He suggested attending a camp that had a leadership camp that he thought I would be very good at. I didn't really have in my mind that it was like going to be Christian, like full on talking about Christ and all that. I knew in the back of my mind, it was like, okay, yeah, they're Christian, but it's still a camp. It's like going to camp as going to summer camp as a kid. I expected that, but that along with going on a mission trip, and then serving at that camp, really grew my faith in several different ways. I mean, the biggest thing was really just personal, my personal faith journey. In a sense, I know there's some arguments about that, but that's the way I view it. Is a lot of just like, I was put into that position for a reason. And that summer, 9th grade to 10th grade, really just hit me like a rock. I remember while I was at camp crying behind some sunglasses because I realized that Jesus Christ did die for me. And it's crazy to think about. So it's just like, anyways, continuing on so we can keep moving forward.
We got time.
But yeah, camp and that mission trip really impacted me. I gained so many leadership abilities there, and an understanding of what leadership looked like, and working with kids, something that I began to have a huge passion for that summer. I also like we sort of rekindled our friendship that summer as well, which was crazy. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's just like that summer was really, really impactful for my faith in general. I started to get the community that I needed, and definitely started to plant the seeds that I needed. I think skipping forward out of all that big summer that I had, of course, I had some issues. 10th grade, I think it was 11th grade was the big time. You had your own thing. We both had our same things at the same time. But it was like 11th grade where I just ended up not attending public school anymore, and leaving that and facing another rocky part of my life. And I lost all my community, or at least a good majority of the community that I had built. And began to get, like, honestly, looking back, I was depressed. I was frustrated and didn't know where to go. I didn't have my community as much as I used to, having stopped going to youth group and stuff like that. It just was a struggle. So anyways, we'll skip over that just a little bit, because that's a long part as well. Can write a biography if I want. But it really just comes down to the fact that I lacked community. And of course, I went back to camp consistently each summer, something I looked forward to. And that was where my community was, really at the end of the day. And I think COVID really messed that up as well. I didn't have that camp to look forward to. I didn't have the community to go back to. I struggled quite a bit. So yeah, anyways, graduated high school online through an online program in 2020, and then still was going through COVID. So I went to college, dropped out of college for the first time And had to deal with some anxiety and those things. And through anxiety as well, my dad started to introduce me to like prayer and self-reflection and study and all this, which was great timing because I eventually got the opportunity to be a counselor at the camp that I worked at, or the camp that I loved. And 2021, became a counselor and was there for the summer. I had worked through my anxiety and was working there. And that was the greatest summer of my life. Just because of that faith, the faith journey that I went on, the spiritual connections, the relationships, the ups and downs, the different skills that I learned, everything really just like grew from that. And it was like really impactful. I started to understand more about what it means to be a Christian, and how that worked. And I've been working on that ever since. I mean, I stayed on that camp for 15 months, left a little bit of a weird mental spot, but grew out of that, faith-wise, and continue to work on Alithia, and now we're here. I feel very happy and steady in my faith life right now. I understand where I am and have grown personally. But yeah, anyways, that was about 10 minutes of me rambling, but
just about.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, so for me to throw a little bit of context in there, Joseph and I grew up on the same street. We went to the same private school. You were a grade above me. So we were really good friends because we went to the same school, same street. Like you had mentioned, we'd be getting games going together with everyone on the street that we grew up on. You stopped going to Trinity at fifth grade, right? If I remember correctly?
Yep.
And then I stayed for until seventh grade. And then we went to the public school together. And then when you were mentioning with you in 11th grade, with you kind of struggling with stuff at school, I had some medical issues going on, and then I had to move across the state. So that's when our friendship kind of died out. And then when I moved back to where we live now, we started talking again. So just had a little bit of context there. So question number two. You've answered this a little bit, but I'm just going to say it again, see if you have anything to add. What does being a Christian mean to you?
So long story short, what I've found is to be a Christian, following what Christ laid out in the Gospels, primarily at the end of the day, we're taught to go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that was commanded of us. I do believe that's Matthew 28, 18 to 20. But that really is what my mindset is. Of course, the church will remain, and through God's grace, we are forgiven. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us, to take away the sins that we as humans live in, or did live in. But that was taken from us. And we are just, as Christians, right off the bat, by the way, I'm not a scholar or whatever in that mindset. I am a just normal guy that does some studying here and there, and this is more or less my view on things. I'm very open to being critiqued or corrected in those things, but I believe that growing as a Christian also means seeking out more knowledge and walking as Christ walked. The fruits of the Spirit are a great example of how we should live, but also seeking to teach others as well. Anyways.
Yeah, the Great Commission is Matthew 28 verses 16 through 20. So good memory. I didn't remember that.
Nice.
All right, and also, how does Aletheia Ministries have to do with how you live out life as a Christian?
Yeah, so with Aletheia Ministries in general, we like Bree, Christine, and I really started Aletheia to encourage people and specifically youth and young adults to take on the Great Commission, to continue to further their faith, but also go and make disciples of all nations. When we look at the Aletheia Ministries mission statement, it is to develop and support the next generation of Christian leaders through outdoor recreation and alternative education. How we believe that we are able to develop and support the next generation of Christian leaders is A, by teaching them how to be leaders, but also at the end of the day, they're also learning how to make disciples of all nations. And so that we can continue to, again, I'm gonna sound like I'm on a loop here, but make disciples of all nations so that we can
It's important.
continue to do that. We have to be educated and understand, or we should be, I should say, educated and understand what it means to be a Christian leader. And also taking stake, being able to lead as Christ-led. We like by educating others, we are continuing to further his word. Anyways, don't want to get too I don't know, say the wrong thing here. So I'll stop there.
Jesus went by rabbi, and rabbi meant teacher, so teaching others is a very Christian thing to do. Once again, you kind of mentioned all these answers, but I'll still ask the questions. But moving on, what stumbling blocks hurt your relationship with God?
Like I said, 8th, 9th grade, just losing community was a huge, huge thing, and I think that's been very consistent. That's been a huge theme just in my faith walk. Community, either having the community, or lacking it. So that's something I've learned and grown to understand what it means to have community. I mean, I'm a introvert. I was really introverted several like 3 years ago or so, but I've been growing in my abilities to be extroverted and reach out and talk to people. But consistently looking back, like 8th and 9th grade, when I fell into more of an agnostic view of the world, that was because I didn't have that community that I did at that private school. I lacked community when it came to 11th grade, where I was losing these friends that I had made. When I dropped out of college, I didn't have that community of other people walking in the faith. And I can see at those high points too, when I had that summer, 9th to 10th grade, I had that mission trip where I was surrounded by a community of people who are also learning and growing in their faith. I had camp, which was an entire community focused on being and existing in the wonderful world that God created. And then just working at that camp as well for those 15 months that I was there, it was consistent that I was around these people that were learning and growing in their faith as well. And I think that's a big thing that Aletheia Ministries is working on, is creating these communities for youth and young adults to grow as Christians, but also as leaders, so that we can continue to make disciples of all nations. Of course, through God's grace, and in the wonderful ways that He works, we continue to pray that He does that. But It really just at the end of the day, it comes to community. Community is a huge thing. There's a reason we have churches, we have congregations that we gather in and worship in. Yeah, anyways.
Well, Jesus said, where there are two or more, I am also there.
Yeah.
So community is very important. All right, and wrapping up, is there any advice you'd like to give to our listeners? Any closing thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. First of all, if you made it through to the 20-minute mark and are still listening, we all greatly appreciate you. No matter your beliefs, we pray that you continue to both seek out Christ and walk in the world that is what God's word says. But also, as you continue to do that, step out of your comfort zone. It's a big thing. I struggle a lot with that. But I've noted throughout my life, taking on these difficult situations, these difficult things throughout your life, you have these opportunities that are clearly placed in front of you. Listen and look for those because God has a purpose for those. Of course, there's also a purpose in everything that happens. God has a plan. Be willing to listen to that plan. That's something, like I said, I've struggled with consistently, listening and trusting. We're all sinful. We're going to struggle to listen to that, but through him, all things are possible. Jeremiah 29:11 says it best. Of course, I can't recite the thing word for word, but know the plans I have for you. Do you know it, Colin?
I'm looking it up right now. I know you're talking right. About
it. Cool.
Yes. You want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
I think it's just so important to, through each daily task that you are fighting, through every day that you wake up, to understand that day, that hour, that minute, even that very second that you're existing, there's a reason for it. God has plans for you. And waking up and understanding that, yeah, you might be in a rough place, or maybe you're in the best place ever. There's a plan for that. He sent his one and only son to die for you, so that's the best thing that could ever happen. And we're sinful. That's why it happened. That's why we wake up and don't think that. Why we may, I know I've done it before, wake up and be mad at God for why am I in this situation. Just remember. That's really what it comes down to. I've said a lot, so I'll stop there. But, yeah.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up here. Take care, everybody, and have a very blessed day.